This is Snowman in the Morning.
Hadouken!
Where true sports talk lives.
He did what?
I did not need to be told that.
Let's talk a little comedy, shall we? Haven't had a chance to talk comedy in a while, except for who I like, and I have a comedian on the line right now who is the host, or the co-host, I should say, of the TNTL podcast, which is co-hosted by his longtime friend Brandon Corman, and observational comedy program in which they discuss dad life, music, food, and sex. And it sounds perfect. This is Andy Flegel. He's on the line right now. Good morning, sir. It's a pleasure to have you.
Greetings. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. So you're out in Strong Island?
That I am.
How's it like? What's it like out there with the pandemic going on?
Well, for a while, we were considered the hot zone, probably the hottest zone in the country, actually. And it's been pretty quiet lately. I don't know. We had no like major spikes, and I think we've been down to like maybe 1%. So I'm not complaining. I'm feeling a lot good. Better than I would if I had lived in moved down south. No offense.
None taken. I just want to get through this and get back to whatever normal life is. And of course, my wife and I joke all the time. What the hell's normal anyway?
Right. Yeah. I don't know if I was that normal to begin with, but yeah. I mean, I suppose definitely it changed.
I don't know if I was normal to begin with anyway. And I agree with that. I agree with those words. I absolutely agree with those words. Talk to me about how you got the TNTL podcast started.
Well, my buddy Brandon and I, we've always had a strong interest in comedy, and we've known each other since the seventh grade. So when he and I met, we were paired up to do a project in middle school, and he was upset with me because I was making him do all the work, and we thought we were going to end up being enemies, and turns out we were we're lifelong friends now. But since then, I mean, we've always just found these common interests in all varieties of comedy, whether it's movies or stand up, and we were never really sure what capacity we really fell into as far as comedy. Some people find their calling in stand up, and some people find their calling in acting. And we knew we loved it, and we knew we were good at it. We just didn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So we've done writing, and Fran did a lot of script writing, and he actually went out and like pitched some scripts and whatnot. I started pursuing a variety of things. I started doing different types of, I kind of mixed art into my comedy, so I started doing a lot of art stuff and designing websites for comedians, and also writing jokes for comedians and writing jokes for us. And eventually we were just kind of talking about it, and this is probably going back about a year and a half now, saying, let's try something different. I'm a big fan of podcasts. Mm-hmm. Brandon, full disclosure, does not listen to podcasts. I don't know if he's ever heard of another podcast, to be honest, which is weird. But I mean, he loves what we do, and he loves the art of it, but he just doesn't listen to podcasts. So I was on the phone with him one day, and he says to me, I was thinking of starting a podcast. And I said, I've been thinking the same thing for 10 years and somehow avoided it. So we kind of put together you can kind of call it a business plan. We do treat it as somewhat of a business. I suppose you have to if you're going to take it this seriously.
Yeah, you have to.
And, So, we've kind of broken it all down into, what's it going to be called? How are we going to market it? When are we going to release it? And we really started doing our homework. And I think within the last, year and a half to 2 years, we've really kind of formulated this whole plan and attacked it pretty aggressively.
That's awesome.
I'd say, it's coming along. It's definitely coming along. I mean, I'd say just like any new business venture, you know, the first year or two, it's going to be a lot of hard work. I mean, mm-hmm. you're going to be in the red. You know, you're going to be spending money on marketing. And yep. I mean, thank God I do a lot of the stuff myself, one, because I'm a cheapskate, and two, because I'm a control freak. So for me, you know, to do a lot of the marketing, to do, I mean, I create all the artwork. I create all the music and sound effects for the show. So, but it's a great creative outlet, and that's what I love most about it, is that not only do I get to focus on my comedy, but I get to focus on all these other things, really just check all the boxes for me. And so that's basically what we've been up to, and that's how I got started.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Folks, you can follow him at TNTL Podcast on Twitter. I do. The show does. Tell me about your first stand-up.
So as far as stand-up goes, I'm a behind-the-scenes kind of person. So,
okay.
And not because I'm afraid to speak in front of the crowd. I just feel like when I do things, I have to do them perfectly, mm-hmm. or else, like, or I'm just going to hate myself. So I've done writing, and quite a bit of writing. And, you know, there's writing that I've submitted and that's been used. So, you know, there's stuff through, whether it's, you know, an acceptance speech to someone, or, you know, like Brent Giraldo using some stuff for, you know, I mean, I've always written for others. And that's kind of why I like the idea of doing this on my own,
okay.
you know, with my friends.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done stand-up. Brandon's done plenty of stand-up. And
okay.
he loved it. I mean, him, you know, it made him so nervous. I mean, every time he would go up and do stand-up, it was like 3 hours of diarrhea for 5 minutes of stand-up. But
I get it. I get it. I totally
yeah.
get it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I know myself, and I know that I'm going to get up there one day when I'm like 40-something and be like, damn it, why didn't I do this 20 years ago? but I don't know, I guess just kind of like the lead up for me, like, just, you know, to satisfy that weird little thing in my brain, I can't just do something and not be good at it. Like, if I go yeah. up there, even if it's the first time, I have to go up there and just destroy the room, or mm-hmm. else I will hate myself the next morning. So when I feel like I'm ready, I will definitely pursue the live aspect of it. But I guess for the time being, you know, I'm happy to just, you know, kind of continue writing and, you know, give ideas. And, you know, I'm okay with being, you know, amused.
Understood. You got a segment within your podcast called The Hangout. You had Big Bag Voodoo Daddy. On your show, what other guests that have you had on that particular segment? And if you could let the cat out of the bag a little bit, who do you have lined up?
So on that segment of the show, I mean, yeah. So I interviewed Scotty Mars from Big Bag Voodoo Daddy. That was great. I mean, he's just a great, great guy. Very interesting to talk to. My biggest question for him was, when they play the Super Bowl halftime show with Ray Charles, I mean, who the hell will let Ray Charles drive a car on the Super Bowl field? So, and then, yeah, I mean, I recently had Bruce Valanche on the show. He's, again, you know, great guy, very funny, you know, answered whatever crazy things I threw at him. I mean, he didn't shy away at all.
So that's great.
That was a great one. Jackie the Joke Man Martling from the Howard Stern Show. He actually had me at his house, which was really cool. So he refers to his house as Joke Land. And so it's just like this beautiful house on Long Island, just filled with memorabilia, and it's right on the water. It's just like, I mean, just being there was awesome. You know, just sitting in his kitchen was amazing enough. But then I got to, you know, actually set up my equipment to talk to him on the mic, which
yeah.
was great. So I mean, you know, those are, I guess, some of the people that stand out for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there's others that I probably should be mentioning. And I'm sorry.
It's all right. It is all right.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, I mean, there's some that I'm working on right now and that I've talked to, but I haven't actually been able to get onto the show. I'm definitely interested in getting some more comedians and musicians on the show, because I feel like just from a personal perspective, that's who I enjoy talking to most. I feel like it's, you know, it's not only relatable, but I love hearing about their experiences and just kind of how they came up. And, you know, a lot of there's so many similarities between everyone, you know, in, you know, a certain genre or a certain industry, but then there's always like that curveball where you're just like, you know, you're expecting them to say all the same stuff as the last guy because they're kind of in the same position. And then there's like this crazy thing that kind of just like turns and says like, well, you know, I was going to school for this and I was performing here, and then all of a sudden, you know, like my mom killed my dad, and you're like, wait, what? What do you mean? He's like, yeah, and that's when I decided I'm gonna become, you know, a comedian. What the hell are you talking about? And like, you know, so I really look for those curveballs, and that's what makes, I think, for a really interesting conversation. But, you know, I mean, as far as, like, the hangout goes, it gets to really test my abilities as an interviewer and kind of even get me ready to, you know, do more of the live stuff like we were talking about. You know, the more I do this, the more I talk to, you know, the more I'm talking to Brian Snow, the more I talk to, you know, the Jackie Martlings of the world, the more prepared I am to actually go up there and hopefully not completely just, you know, make a fool of myself.
I understand, and I totally understand why. We had a chance to talk yesterday before we came on, and I posed this question to you. Who are some of your influences in comedy?
I'd say in terms of writing and thinking outside the box, my biggest influence is Stephen Wright. And I love Stephen Wright. I think that he is just the way that his brain works versus just the average human. I would love to, have you ever heard the story how when Albert Einstein passed away, someone stole his brain so that they could study it?
Yeah.
I want to do that to Stephen Wright. And I mean, I don't know what I would learn from it because I really don't know much about the human brain, but I want to get inside his head. And he's just, I mean, the way that he thinks, the way that he writes, for someone to come up with a joke like I was cesarean born, you wouldn't know it, except every time I leave the room, I leap through the window. It's just so it's just, I don't know why it's so like genius to me, but everything about him, his persona is brilliant, and like just the delivery, and I mean the jokes are just phenomenal. So he's as far as like kind of more old school comics, I mean, not old school, but you know, as far as like that generation of like Boston comics that came out in like, what was it, the early 80s, late 70s, he's tops for me. Beyond that, I'd say as far as like newer people, I really like Jim Jefferies. I think that he, I mean, I don't like the fact that he's been getting a little bit more political lately,
mm-hmm.
but in general, he is an absolutely brilliant comic. Very intelligent guy, you know, very, very down to earth, but, you know, just quick, smart, you know, great jokes, very dirty, which I like. But like, and it's weird because you at first glance, you know, at face value, he seems like he's just dirty for the sake of being dirty. And there's comedians out there who, I mean, there's plenty of those.
Yes.
You know, like you look at someone like Bob Saget.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Saget sucks. And Bob Saget, I mean, you know, I know people who've written for Bob Saget, and, you know, they suck too. So, like, his stuff is just very, very filthy. And you get him on the mic without any kind of preparation, mm-hmm. and he's just dirty because he doesn't know how to do anything else.
Right.
Someone like Jim Jefferies is dirty because he knows how to navigate the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that, you know, in certain ways, by being dirty, it will enhance the conversation. It's not just to get a rise out of you.
Right.
You know? And I appreciate that. So, like, you know, as far as, like, dirty humor goes, I love dirty humor, but it has to be done in a tasteful way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like, you know, like if you're watching porn, like I'm not just going to like just jump straight to the dirtiest part of the porn. Like you have to ease your way into it. You know, you got to know when to get dirty, mm-hmm. you know?
I
you're
like, love
you're quiet. This. You're quietly agreeing with me, which means your wife must still be home.
and I'm sitting there laughing. I'm sitting there listening, and I'm sitting there laughing. That's why I'm quiet.
I've never watched porn before in my life.
Why am I quiet? He asks. I'm sitting there laughing. That's Andy Fleagle, a delight to have on the show, and I'd love to have you back many, many more times over, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Mark Zeno will close the show after this.